It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday. 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey cruising along with you. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you by FanDuel. Here's Bear.
Thank you, Russ. Number one, it was announced today that Tennessee basketball, due to the pause in team activities due to COVID-19, have had to postpone or cancel, not sure which, games against coming up against number one Gonzaga in the Jimmy V Classic and a date in South Bend with the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Tennessee's first game is now scheduled to be played December the 12th against the University of Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yep. Get well, Coach Barnes. Anybody else who's infected with COVID right now, hopefully gets well soon, and we can get this basketball season rolling again. I believe they said Saturday, December 5th is the target date for resuming activities. Trey, do we know, like, for the players that have already had it or don't have it, can they get together and hoop or at least get up shots somewhere? Like, what are they doing? They're not surely not just sitting around for a week and a half.
I would think that that they could get together and hoop it up. Now, can they do it inside the facility? Probably not if they paused all team activities.
Yeah.
But
there's plenty of spots around town.
Yeah, they can go to Bobby Mays' gym and play.
Well, it's not. They're not out at the playground out at Caswell Park or something out there. But yeah, I mean, if one of the assistants was negative and they could get together somewhere and just work on a few things, the guys who weren't contact traced out, like, feel like we should be doing that. But anyway, just a thought. Go ahead, Bear.
All right, number two, Tennessee's football game with Vanderbilt this Saturday has been postponed as the SEC has shuffled its football schedule for the week. They're having the Vanderbilt Commodores travel to Columbia to play Missouri on Saturday. This due to coronavirus contact tracing and outbreak rumors at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, it's been a weird season. It kind of grinding to a halt, it feels like. But hopefully they can get it in, or depending on the way you look at it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We were talking earlier. Those of these guys who were contact traced out were hit either Sunday or Monday, right? So they would presumably, if it's a full 14 days, although I did see where the CDC was looking at changing those guidelines to between 7 and 10 days, but if it's 14 days, they wouldn't be able to play against Florida either. So you could be talking about a decimated Tennessee roster facing this year's Florida squad, which a non-decimated Tennessee roster facing this year's Florida squad was in for a whipping of epic proportions. I don't even want to fathom. I mean, can we run the clock in the second half a la high school football? That could get out of hand quickly.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to be going for style points because they're in the playoff hunt and also have a quarterback who's, in the running for the Heisman Trophy. Sorry, mispronounced that one.
Yeah, but
all right, number three. Go ahead.
One more thought on that, Bear. Florida pretty much has the East wrapped up, so I don't know how many style points they have to have because for them it pretty much all comes down to the SEC championship. The team that's playing for style points is going to be Texas A&M, and if they're playing if they're playing for 9-1 and an outside shot at the fourth playoff spot, they might hang half a hundred on you if given the opportunity.
At least, yeah. And if that happens, I think it should be harvesting time at Neyland Stadium.
Oh no, no.
That's all I'm going to say.
Come on.
All right, number three. This is one for you and Trey, especially. Middleweight champ, I can't say his name, so I'm going to call him Triple G, is set to fight Camille Cesar Mehta on December the 18th at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida.
Sweet. Heck yeah.
That was initially scheduled for February and then April, with the latter date scrapped due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And it will take place one day before Canelo Alvarez's matchup against Callum Smith.
Triple G hasn't fought in a long time, has he? It's been a while.
None of these guys have, really. Have they?
Yeah. He hasn't fought since Canelo. He hasn't fought since Canelo. And don't forget, guys, what we get this weekend, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.
Oh, my God.
Man,
yes. I saw him
I'd watch that. A couple of old guys in the squared circle with limited brain cells trying to beat what little sense the other one has left out of them.
Like 2 6-year-old guys with their walkers trying to fight each other? No, I'm good.
Have you seen the videos of Tyson?
He took his shirt off and flexed on national TV yesterday. I wouldn't want to fight the guy.
I wouldn't want to fight Tyson if he was 400 pounds. I don't care. Like, I still don't want to watch 2 6-year-old men fight each other.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. They're charging $50 for this thing.
Good Lord.
I look forward to watching it on a grainy Periscope stream out of Uruguay.
I got you the good stuff, Russ. Don't
okay, you're going to send me the link. Good deal.
Yeah.
Known internet and TV pirate, Trey Wallace.
Arr. That is correct. Yes.
We do have it coming in at number four. We got a bit of breaking news here from according to Mike Wilson, Tennessee basketball is exploring adding non-conference games to its schedule in December after the Vols canceled their first four games due to COVID-19 issues.
Okay. So, we need a couple of tune-ups, right? I mean, this is pretty much Cincinnati. Is that the only name opponent we have before SEC play at this point?
I think so.
Much.
We're going to have to – I mean, we've got to play somebody. Get Appy State or Coastal Carolina, somebody in here. And
see if Gonzaga can play.
Yeah, I mean, I did notice that they did not say, like, canceled. And we all know Mark Few and Rick Barnes, good close personal friends. So maybe they figure a way. I mean, I'm sure Rick Barnes, if he felt like they could play, would get on a plane and go up there to play them in Washington, or perhaps they come down here.
Yeah, all they get is App State, Tennessee Tech, and USC Upstate before they start SEC play.
Oh, we do get Appy State. All right, well, need one or two more, I would say, for sure.
Agreed.
This is where you say number five and read us another story, Bear.
No, I was waiting on you guys to finish. Sorry about that.
We were done, as noted by the five-second pause. Yes.
I was looking at something, Russell, preparing for my read.
Don't let us distract you. Please go ahead.
Number five, Florida State head coach Mike Norvell has denied Dabo Swinney's claim that Florida State Seminoles ducked the Clemson Tigers, Russell. Asked if COVID was the reason for the postponement, Norvell said absolutely and reiterated that his coaches and players were eager to play Saturday before the school's medical staff determined it unsafe to do so. Following news that one Clemson player who'd shown symptoms earlier in the week had been allowed to travel with the team to Tallahassee, Florida. Take that, Dabo.
Yeah, just what a weird fight for Dabo to pick. I mean, he looks terrible in this. Regardless of what your opinion is on COVID, and maybe Florida State did kind of duck it, but you're Dabo Swinney with your two national championships and your top five team. Just swallow your words, go home, coach your team, and you'll have your chance. You'll have your opportunities. Why get into it with Mike Norvell and Florida State? I mean, talk about punching down.
Well, yeah, you're punching down them. Mike Norvell, pretty good at punching up. This is the only other quote he had. Football coaches are not doctors. Some of us might think we are. But there's a reason why medical advisors make decisions based on the information that is provided. It's unfortunate that opportunity has been delayed, but there's a reason people making those decisions have that responsibility. He basically just slapped Swinney across the face and told him to like it.
Wow.
I don't like Dabo. But, you know, I don't really care for Florida State either. Pretty much on the record on that. But, you know, Dabo had it coming. An idiot.
There you have it. The top five at five brought to you by FanDuel.
Yep, FanDuel. You know, Russ, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite days of the year. Can't wait to eat too much food and watch football all day long. And now that I can bet on all the games on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, it just makes the day even better. If you've never bet on FanDuel before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot because they're giving new users a 25-1 odds boost on any NFL game Thanksgiving Day. That means, Russ, you can bet $5 and win $125.
Outstanding.
Which of these games are you betting at 25-1? Texans Lions?
I told you earlier, yeah, the Texans and the Lions. The Texans are going to beat the Lions' brains out.
I mean, I would – you give me any one of the three. I go with the Texans, the Redskins, or the Steelers. You're going to love FanDuel. Offers like these are just one of the reasons why they're America's number one sportsbook app. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code DRIVE1 so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 and present in Tennessee to participate. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Maximum bonus, $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, please call 1-800-889-9789. Back to you, Russell.
All right, very good. Hang right there. We're going to get to Zach and then Willie when we continue. Your phone call is coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell Bear Trey back with you. Portions of our show brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Don't put off your dental visits this year. Have you been to the dentist? We've been telling you to go. It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly safe. Knoxville Smiles will take great care of you. And if you haven't been in 2020, well, you could still schedule an appointment. Just go on to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Call 865-539-1776 if you want to do it the old-fashioned way. Be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. So we get credit for your visit. Dr. Malone, been doing dentistry here in Knoxville for 24 years now, almost a quarter century. Great guy, great family. And they're going to take extra special care of you Fan Run listeners when you call up Knoxville Smiles and get your appointment set up today. Again, KnoxvilleSmiles.com, 865-539-1776. Jamie, no, we already talked to Jamie. Who's next? Zach. Thank you, guys. Zach, good afternoon, sir.
Well, you said W.
Hey, Zachary.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, you remember Casey from the Voluntary Reaction?
How could I forget?
Was that the guy that you interviewed the first hour?
No, Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, and Casey. You believe Withrow? I like Withrow. Listen, we disagree on the freeze thing, obviously. Chad is very good at what he does. I respect his opinion. Perhaps we can debate it a little bit later because I have a feeling this issue is going to linger for quite some time.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of playing around, but I couldn't disagree more with about every word the guy said from that interview. And I think you guys missed, you know, you talked about Matt Campbell. First of all, we're broke, and then we're going to go to Iowa State and buy out Matt Campbell. And then you want another defensive guy in Luke Fickell, and we went the Cincinnati route. But the one thing, the alarming that he said that I thought was the most off-the-wall thing ever was, oh, yeah, let Freeze go to South Carolina 1 year, and then we'll hire him from South Carolina to Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm
come on.
Well, I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, that would be a hell of a story if he pulls a Kiffin and leaves after 1 year. But I kind of think if you're going to get him, if he's the guy you want, again, you don't wait. Georgia, when they saw that South Carolina was about to hire Kirby Smart at the end of the 2015 season, they went ahead and parted ways with Mark Richt, even though he had gone 9-3, because they knew that Kirby was their guy. They knew that this guy had to be their head coach. And they knew that if he went to South Carolina, he probably wasn't going to be their head coach because nobody does what Lane Kiffin did. And so they went ahead and they got him, and they've been enjoying the benefits ever since. If Tennessee, the powers that be, are comfortable with Hugh Freeze, they need to go hire him now. Don't – you talk about the gamble of bringing in here. The bigger gamble is – waiting for a year just because you want to save $4 million on Jeremy Pruitt's buyout to hire Hugh Freeze next year when he might not be around next year. He's there. He wants the job. Go get him.
Yeah, and the likelihood of that happening, I mean, if he went to South Carolina, they're going to pay him. He's going to stay. I mean, after 1 year, that's pretty not a good chance. So, you know, the problem is what I've been seeing glaring is, you know, on the Ball for Life page, me and Hudson are on there losing some IQ points. But basically, you know, the whole theme is giving the guy a five-year rebuild, that he needs a five-year rebuild. You know, the problem with Tennessee for the past 13 years is the leadership over there, because you think any other fan base would tolerate this? Florida, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, even Mississippi State, they blew out Joe Moorhead after 2 years. And we're sitting here and we're asking, you know, Withrow, well, do we give him 4 years and let him fire Chaney? He's almost a $2 million coordinator, to bring in another coordinator on
so
a death,
dumb.
You know, come on. It makes no sense.
No sense at all.
Let's just cut him loose. Anyway, I'd like to hear what Willie has to say. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Before we get to Willie, Bear, Trey, any thoughts on what Zach had to say?
Nah, I mean, he basically the same thing we've all been talking about. I mean, I'm more on as far as the free thing goes, and Pruitt, I don't think it's that much of a savings to keep him next year. I mean, I've yet to see anybody break down. I mean, I guess we wouldn't know until he hired retools his staff, but it seems like you're going to have a lot of 2-year contracts guaranteed.
Here's what I'll say. If you're even talking about firing Jim Chaney, so you're going to bring in a completely different offense.
So why?
For your line, your running backs, your quarterback that's going to come in, like Caden Salter. You think, you know, you're going to have Harrison Bailey learn a completely different offense. We don't even know if we're going to have a spring football yet. And I just.
Let's go ahead and run off the only proven assistant we have, bring in somebody else, just so we can placate this doofus who's running our program into the ground. That sounds really smart. That's good. Let's do that.
And Fulmer's not look, and this is just me saying this. Fulmer ain't paying $1.7 million for Jim Chaney to go sit in his cabin in Wyoming. He's gonna make him work for it. I mean, you signed him, you got to deal with him. It's different than like a defensive line coach compared to an offensive coordinator. But I don't see that happening. Chaney's gonna be your OC next year, or he's gonna have to be the one to walk away. He ain't going to do it voluntarily.
No.
Sorry.
That's dumb.
I mean, I can't see. I still would love to know what went down the conversation between Pruitt and Fulmer about the Brumbaugh deal, because you can say it's not an OC, but you're still talking about, what did we figure out, $1.3 million?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Setting money on fire.
Yeah.
Willie.
It's obscene.
Is next. Hello, Willie.
Guys, I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Willie Jr. owes me a little money. I'm gonna make him pay for it.
Yeah.
Since he's working and I'm not. But guys, I mean, what else is there to watch this weekend? I mean, our football program is in the most pathetic state I think it's ever been in my lifetime. And I went to my first game in 1970, Bill Battle's first year. And, I mean, hell, we're ducking Vanderbilt. You think George Kafagos rolling over in his grave? For us ducking Vanderbilt, we're scared of Vandy?
I mean, I don't know that we're ducking them, Willie, but your larger point is correct. It's the program has cratered.
Here's my theory. I think Fulmer ducked Vandy because he thought we were going to get our ass kicked. And can you imagine the revolt of the fans if we'd lost to Vandy this weekend?
Well,
I mean,
when we lose to them here in a few weeks.
Well, but here's the thing about it. Maybe we improve a little bit, which I don't see happening. Hopefully Vandy will keep improving and seal the deal for us. But if it would happen early in the season, then we could get the wheels in motion to go ahead and fire the clown, get him out of here.
So we're going to go.
What people are not thinking about, Russ, is there's an opportunity. Well, I'm sorry. There is a chance that one of these games in December out of the last three don't even get played.
So that's what Pruitt's praying he doesn't have to play Vandy.
And the one that would, and this is just me speculating here, okay? But the one game that would make that they had to get rid of would be Vanderbilt, because Texas A&M needs to play Tennessee and Florida needs to play Tennessee. Yeah. There's really no reason besides 10-game schedule for Tennessee Vanderbilt to play.
And that's why I think that's why Fulmer ducked him this weekend to get that thing pushed back to the last game of the season. Because then
it's
may
one
not
of the
happen.
oldest rivalries in Southern college football. They better play that game.
Well, you know, George Cafego and King Johnny rolling over in their grave about the state of our program and what Fulmer's doing. I mean, it's outrageous.
I like how you and Phil are couching this whole thing as being all Fulmer's fault.
That's nice.
Well, it's not. I mean, he just made a stupid hire. I mean, anybody could do that because his choices were really limited. I don't, you know, if he would just get on board with and fire the guy and hire Hugh Freeze. I mean, Hugh Freeze wanting a Tennessee job, the stars are aligned. There's only been one time in Tennessee football history that we had this opportunity, and that's when we got King Johnny coming off that national championship.
It's all about timing.
And you know what? Hugh Freeze would energize his fan base. You talk about electric, which I find that hard to believe. If by next fall they're back to letting us full attendance in the stadium, can you imagine? You know that crowd would be sold out for that first game. I don't care if we played Carson Newman. It would be sold out if we had Hugh Freeze. But if we got Jeremy Pruitt, it's going to be pathetic. How many of you think will show up to watch it? If we open with a call, now, who is our opening game next?
Bowling
year?
Green.
You guys know? You think, how many fans do you think you'll be there, come out if Jeremy Pruitt's our coach?
I think earlier I said 60,000.
There you go.
Maybe 60,000.
So, you know, increase that by 80% if you bring Hugh Freeze in.
Willie, I mean, we all know.
Other than that, Tennessee football looks great. Here's the thing about it. I don't think our program's in any better shape than the day he walked in here from that train wreck of Butchie Boys. I really don't.
Willie, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
See ya.
Man, next season's going to be weird.
If they really are going to bring this guy back no matter what, Trey.
Yeah.
Should Fulmer, I know he's isolating right now, but should
that
he do?
I mean, he can't pick up a call. I know where you're going with this.
Should he do something and just give him a vote of confidence and say, look, this year's been crazy. We're all very disappointed, but we're behind. I'm going to stand by my man. I'm backing my coach, and he's coming back next year. I'm talking about before these last three games.
No, I agree. I think Fulmer, you remember last season, I forgot what game it was, but it was last season he came out and he did an interview with the local affiliate. We all know. If I'm Tennessee, why not put Fulmer on ball calls tomorrow night? Why not put him on next week? We have not seen or heard from Philip Fulmer since, only in a prepared statement that was released to the media and everybody else. We haven't heard or seen him in 2 months, 2.5 months. That's really not like an athletic director. If you look around the country, you got, and I'm just using examples here, you got Scott Woodard down at LSU, you got Ross Bjork at A&M, Scott Strickland, all these guys, Candace Lee at Vanderbilt, they're doing interviews on Feinbaum every time that they get the opportunity, or they're doing interviews with local media.
Bear, do you think Philip Fulmer should make an appearance and say something, whether it's a vote of confidence or otherwise?
I mean, I'd love to hear the dreaded vote of confidence, just because I feel like that would be
final nail.
You know, one more nail. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or he can just continue using Doug Matthews as his mouthpiece.
I don't know why you got to go after Coach Matthews
that's,
like that, Trey.
Yeah, that was
not a good look
for
you.
Well, I didn't mean that in a mean way.
It was uncalled for.
It was totally uncalled for. Apologize to Coach Matthews.
Okay. I apologize to Coach Matthews.
Thank you.
I hate how
now. Where was I?
You keep me to apologize.
Quick break. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on board, coming up, we find out who's on the docket, brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Stay tuned. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive.
The docket is brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens, online at jrglawtn.com. A Knoxville man with a history of stealing vehicles and trying to run when officers chase him faces new charges that accuse him of ramming a deputy's vehicle during a low-speed pursuit. 21-year-old.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, Austin Lynn being held in Knox County custody on numerous warrants, including felony theft of property, aggravated assault, and evading arrest. Authorities arrested him Saturday night after he tried to get away in the Walker Springs area. It's over my neck of the woods. Spotted at 10:30 around Bridgewater Road, driving a stolen Chevy 1500. Officer gave chase to 10 Mile Road. The Chevy rammed one officer's patrol car and tried to hit two others, according to the warrant. The chase went through Walker Springs Apartments Complex, where the Chevy crashed into parked cars and damaged several fences. Lynn then hit a KUB pole and a tree on Fox Lonis Road, where the vehicle stopped. He resisted arrest as officers took him into custody. Suffered scrapes and abrasions on his face. Was taken to UT Medical Center. He's charged with stealing a $30,000 Kia on November 13th from a store at Oak Ridge Highway. 4 days before that, he tried to run from authorities while driving a stolen 2015 red Hyundai. Tried to run from deputies and crashed into the 6200 block of Rutledge Pike. He's got a real piece of work. The public menace. Excuse me.
All right.
Just dandy. Thank you. And, it was, wow. I mean, guy leading officers on a low speed chase. I just hate it for people living in an apartment. You come out and find out your car's been crashed into by some yahoo on a crime spree.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Is it just, I guess, insurance cover that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to pay your deductible, probably.
God, man, it's awful.
That's what stinks. You'd have to pay your deductible for you getting your car stolen.
Just money down the drain.
I mean, I guess it would depend on, I don't know. I mean, that'd be more of a question for an insurance guy.
Meanwhile,
I don't know how they'd handle something like that.
Elsewhere here in town, several people around Knoxville may have noticed some of their decorations missing from their front doors. KPD said they found a large collection of stolen wreaths, rugs, and other decorations while investigating a string of West Knoxville thefts. They believed most of the items were taken from apartment complexes around 10 Mile Road. I don't think these are
10 Mile. A lot of action going on out there, 10 Mile Road.
I don't think these two are connected, but what a crime out in West Knoxville all of a sudden. Police posted pictures of the stolen items on their Facebook page. Today, several autumn wreaths were shown among the stolen property, along with many doormats. Who's stealing doormats? What are
you doing?
I would
imagine teenagers.
Yeah, but
what would be my guess.
A good doormat.
Yeah. If any of these items belong to you, contact investigator Jonathan Harris at 865-215-7153. All right, there's the docket. Brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Folks, if you're going through a hard time in this life, 2020 is treating you rough. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you're having major financial issues. You're thinking about filing for bankruptcy. Maybe you have a personal injury case you'd like to pursue. Maybe you're going through a criminal matter. Call the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. The phone call is free. The advice is free. So what do you have to lose? Call 865-801-8255. 801-9250. That's 801-9250. Or just go online to jrglawtn.com. I've known Jerry Gibbons and that staff for a very long time. Great folks here locally take great care of you. The law offices of Jerry R. Gibbons. Legal expertise you can rely on. Our phone number, if you want to hop on board, is 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to chime in, couple open lines right now for the first time. Today or yesterday, really. We finally got some time here. If you want to chime in on anything we've been talking about, Hugh Freeze mania filling the void now that UT Sports has effectively shut it down, pretty much. And all we can do is ponder. All we can do is hope. All we can do is wonder. What does the future hold? What does the future hold?
I got good news for you, Russ, on your NFL team front.
What's that?
Brett Kern has been taken off the injured reserve list. He's been designated.
That is good news. The punting thing has not gone well. Trey, riddle me this. You're a good one to. What does Jeremy Pruitt have to do? Let's just
bare knuckle. Just get down to it.
Well, let's just give him an opportunity here, because he has been public whipping boy number one, and even if I think it's over, Bear thinks it's over, most of our audience probably thinks it's over, I feel like you've got the door cracked. What does he have to do? Assuming he comes back next season, what does he have to do with his staff? What does he have to do with his quarterback position? What does he have to do next year to stay past 2021?
First off, he's got to make some changes on his coaching staff. I think that's obvious. I think you need to move some guys around. I don't think Brian Niedermeyer it doesn't show that he's that good of a linebackers coach. Maybe move him to a different position if you want to keep him on the field. I feel like, and this is just personal opinion here, I feel like the linebackers have taken a step backwards compared to taking a step forward this year. I think, unfortunately for Tennessee, maybe they're one of their best running backs is actually playing linebacker, and that's Kravaris Crouch. But looking at the obvious things here, I think that Jeremy Pruitt needs to establish a game plan of going forward for the last three games. Here's the thing. Once you're out on somebody, you're kind of out. And no matter what they do, you're not going to be able to win them back over, and that's okay. But there's still some folks out there that do not want a coaching change because they just don't want to go through it again. They don't feel like the university can. I think Jeremy Pruitt over the next 4 weeks has to, one, keep this recruiting class together. Somehow you got to keep these guys together. You have to remember now also Tennessee would be playing now their last game 3 days after National Signing Day. Early
so
National
weird.
Signing Day.
Why don't they just move that? Why don't we just get rid of early signing day for this year? For this year, so that
will it really make a difference?
Well, I don't.
Guys can't take
yes
or anything.
Yes, because what you're going to have, I mean, think about what signing day is, right? That's an all day thing, and you're going to ask. And I'm not just talking about Tennessee. I'm talking about Saban. I'm talking about Kiffin. I'm talking about every school in the country is basically going to have to take a day off in the middle of game week to manage their signing day. That seems really difficult.
I'm gonna throw one else at you. For the next 2 weeks, yes, Tennessee staff is worried about this season, but they're making calls nonstop about this recruiting class. I mean, it kind of goes with what you're saying. Like, a lot of their work over the next 2 weeks is going to be keeping this class together. And I'm talking about through Zoom, FaceTime, phone calls, all that good stuff. I think that Jeremy Pruitt has got to win either Florida or A&M to set up for 2021. And I know people laugh at that, but even if you don't win, you have to look competitive. And if that means that you have to live or die with Harrison Bailey at quarterback, or even throw in JT Stroud, then you have to do what you have to do. because you cannot go into this offseason on a it would be 8-game losing streak.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
Period.
Well, oh, you're just about the Vanderbilt game. That's a must win. That's so pathetic.
Yeah, and I know it's pathetic, and I agree that it's pathetic. But when you look at what Tennessee has coming back next year, and here's the crazy part. Hear me out here. Tennessee should be looking at the players a top 25 team next year. When you look at what they have coming back at running back, linebacker, defensive.
Okay. Sorry, I'm Trey. Sorry.
I'm done. Y'all are good. No, y'all take over.
Well, they should have been a top 25 team this year. Like, I'm not going to laugh at you. Like, I see what you're saying. You're right. Yeah, exactly. We have top 25 talent. This guy can't coach, and his coaching staff is about to get worse.
You have to make changes and get guys in there can teach a position. We'll keep going back to this. Take, for instance, Joe Osebeck. Why the hell is Joe Osebeck coaching tight ends? He doesn't know anything about tight ends.
He's not going to be able to improve his coaching staff. His coaching staff's going to get worse. Good coaches aren't coming here.
No. Who decided that, Trey? It was Pruitt.
No, you have to sign them to 2-year deals. You have to guarantee them money, and they will come to Tennessee.
The mercenary ones. Well, you won't get top flight guys. You're going to get the guys that are just in it for the money. They'll see it as a payday, man. I wasn't laughing at you. I mean, we've got no linebackers.
Well, if we've got the money to do that, don't we have the money to just get rid of this dude and start over?
I mean, who was it that promoted Joe Osevet's tight ends coach? Who was it that decided to take a very young and green Brian Niedermeyer and put him in charge of the linebackers? When you've got one,
Jeremy Pruitt's going to be pissed when he finds out what kind of moron did those things.
Yeah. You know, who was it who told him to run off his one of the best D-line coaches in the country? Who was it who told him to fire his current D-line coach 4 games into the season?
You asked me. Y'all asked me what I thought he needed to do, and now you're going back and you're naming every single thing that he's done wrong. It's like, where do I have any middle ground to actually say anything, what he has to do? And this is my point. You're already out. There's no talking you back into it. So what's the difference?
I don't mean to put you in a corner. It's just I gave you the
I don't either.
I give you the opportunity. Yeah, I mean to give the other side of the story, because we're just pillaring the guy. And I mean, you're right. Like the things
nobody wants to hear that, though. Like, that's the thing. I don't mean to cut you off. But like, if I put out an article on like why I think Jeremy Pruitt could come back next year and do some things if he changes things up, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody will want to hear anything about what.
Well, because it's fantasy. We want to. That's it. It's not real what you're talking about. I mean, yes, the things you're saying are correct. Yes, he has to improve his coaching staff. Yes, he has to coach these guys up. Yes, he has decent talent. Not great talent, but decent talent coming back. But the problem is, all the things you're saying cannot be done.
Okay, well then, do you honestly think Jeremy Pruitt would just sit back? And I'm not taking up for Jeremy Pruitt here, but I am trying to be as logical. Do you think Jeremy Pruitt would actually sit back and say, man, you know what? I really want to lose at Arkansas. I really want to lose at Auburn. You know what I mean?
Nobody's saying that
out there. Well, but you have to understand, there's a reason why Harrison Bailey is not playing quarterback right now. Russell, you've talked to the same people that I've spoken with. There's a reason why Bailey has not been the starter, and they're not putting him in there.
Yeah, because he can't play.
Yes, he can't play football. So he's got to put Garantano out there. Yeah. Or you go back and put in Shroud.
So we keep running it. Yeah, he doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah. Right?
So that's not.
He made no moves preseason to address this. He's made no moves in 3 years to address the fact that Jared Garantano is the only quarterback.
He tried to make a move with JT Daniels, and Daniels didn't want to come here. He wanted to go to Georgia. He tried to make a move to get another guy in here.
All right, let me answer my question about what Pruitt has to do, just playing devil's advocate. Trey's right. He's going to have to retool his coaching staff a little bit and get some better teachers on there, but he can't get rid of Niedermeyer. And he's not going to be able to attract good coaches, because good coaches aren't going to want to work for him, because the word is out that he's impossible to work for, and everybody knows he's probably going to get fired anyway. So there's the problem with that first piece of it. Second of all, he's going to have to come back and find a quarterback. And obviously, Garantano is not it. I'm hearing that what you're hearing, Trey, that Bailey was severely overrated as a quarterback coming out of high school and is not going to be a good player at this level. Maurer's a head case. I think Shroud is a walking interception. So those aren't good answers. So your quarterback next year is probably going to be, if you can hold on to him, a true freshman from Texas or a grad transfer, which never works. So that's the problem with that. And then you've got to win games. You've got to motivate your team. You've got to keep them involved and engaged throughout a 12-game season, and you've got to make the right call on the sidelines, and he hasn't shown the ability to do that. So, like, we're on the same page here. Those are the things he has to do. I'm just saying that, and I think I'm being objective here. Maybe some would say otherwise, but those things aren't going to happen.
He's never, in 3 years, he's not shown me anything to make me think that he will make any kind of different. We're talking about major changes in his decision making.
Wait a minute. He goes out and hires Jim Chaney, and everybody is kissing Pruitt's ass when he does that, and everybody loves it in town. But now you're going back and you're saying, well, he's not done anything to help the program. Like that argument doesn't make sense.
Well, what you just said doesn't make sense, Trey. He brought in Jim Chaney. Well, he doesn't give him anything to work with.
Yeah, no, I think that new information comes to light. I think Jim Chaney hadn't worked with Jeremy Pruitt before. I guarantee you, if Jim Chaney could hop in Doc Brown's time machine and go back 2 years ago when he's at Georgia and Jeremy Pruitt picks up the phone and says, you want to come basically be my head coach of offense, he would say no. At the time, it probably sounded like a great idea. Yeah, here's a young defensive coach who's promising me autonomy to do with the offense. I love Knoxville. I'm going to go back there. And then he gets there, and he realizes that this young defensive head coach, A, doesn't know what he's doing, and B, wants to meddle in offense anyway and wants to tell me how to run my offense. So that's probably why he's trying to get the heck out of here this season. So, yeah, I mean, I'll give him credit for getting Pruitt here, but I will also say he's handled – or I'm sorry, for getting Chaney here, but I'll also say that he hasn't handled the situation well. He hasn't let him coach. He hasn't let him go out and get his own quarterback. And he is he's generally made a mess of it.
He brought in Jay Graham. I mean, everybody was loving – I mean, that's what I'm getting
he
at. I understand that these guys
– yeah, and our running back position group is excelling. That's the one bright spot on the team.
All right, hold on. I'll give Trey the last word when we continue. Stay with us. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Trey, I'm sorry. You were backed into a corner there. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, that's okay.
And you're just making the argument for Jeremy Pruitt. I know that you don't necessarily feel that he should come back. You're looking at it more objectively than me or Bear, but you could probably better make the case than me or Bear because Bear and I are done.
No, I'm just saying I don't want people to get their hopes up. You know what I mean? Like this, when it comes to potentially making a change, when right now all the smoke coming out over there is, Philip Fulmer's not happy, but he's not at that point where he's feeling like he has to make a change right now.
Well,
and I just hate for people to get all tied up, and when it really comes down to it, I think Jeremy Pruitt's going to be back, and it's going to be a long 9 months, 8 months, man.
No, it's going to be ugly. It's going to get really ugly for Fulmer, and it's going to be beyond ugly for Pruitt.
Well, and the
thing is, though, is nobody's going to be able to change anybody's mind now. And that's the bad part about it, but that's college football and that's life. Like,
well, no, listen, that's not necessarily true. If Jeremy Pruitt goes out there and puts up an 8 or 9 win season next year, which is not setting the world on fire, but if he does that next year, guess what? We'll all have to back off and say we were wrong. But
if he wins 8 or 9 games next year,
I will sit down with you and eat a full Thanksgiving dinner. And listen to Huey Lewis in the news while we do it.
I mean,
pick off
right now
more stuff off that stupid list
all right,
of yours.
12-game season next year. Our non-conference games are Bowling Green, Pitt, and then two other lame teams. How many games does Jeremy Pruitt win next year? I know there's some unknowns there, but just ballpark it.
I would think that they would be Bowling Green, Pitt, and South Alabama, so that'd be three. And then I would say they'd probably be the South Carolina, Missouri team. I don't know. That's probably eight wins.
You think Pruitt wins eight games next year? Bear?
I think six would be the absolute ceiling. And I think it would be extra delicious if Trey South Alabama boys came up here and buried this dumbass gump we've got as a head coach. That would just make my day.
Bear,
I'd root for South Alabama while eating a damn turkey drumstick.
Wow!
With Huey Lewis in the news in one ear and damn Pearl Jam in the other, while wearing a red shirt.
How about this, Bear? As we get set to wrap up, here is my battle cry: dump the gump, bring on the John.
You're psycho.
Dump the gump. Bring on the John.
You're a psycho. Why would you say that? I mean, hell, D. Arval's willing to go get baptized in the river down by the sewage treatment plant there on Neyland. Why not? Dump the gump. Bring on the John.
Gump,
you down with that, Trey?
Gump be gone. Bring on the John.
I can't do it. Whatever.
Any parting thoughts, gentlemen, before
we see if South Alabama has an opening.
All right. We'll be live tomorrow. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Come on out and see us as we wrap up the week and get you ready for Thanksgiving. Should be a lovely time to be had by all. Big thank you to Drew Nicholson and Adam Hickman for their hard work here at the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's going to do it for us. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run.